Father, thank you for your love for us. We feel our limitations right now in terms of our brain capacity, in terms of our soul capacity, in terms of, I suppose, other capacities, Lord. But you are not limited by our limitations. And so we ask that you would lend from your infinite strength, that you would lend strength to us even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So folks, this lesson is really trying to highlight that you can have the same presenting problem, but have two very different experiences of that problem. So we're going to go through sort of two twin mini case studies that this is going to be a highly interactive session together, that we're going to piece together why we would approach one guy differently than we would approach the other guy, though they have many similarities in terms of a presenting issue. A couple introductory comments to set us up. Not everyone experiences, let's say for instance, anxiety. Not everyone experiences anxiety in the same way. Now, I worded that very intentionally. I didn't just say not everyone experiences anxiety for the same reason, though that's true. But it's more than just there's different reasons that people can be anxious. It's also that the actual experience of anxiety can be different. It can take on different manifestations. It can grip them in different ways. It can be more chronic or more short-lived. There are many different ways that people experience what we would call anxiety or whatever label or word we would put on any number of issues. And so you may even notice in the training here this week that you're getting, and in any training that you yourself have done in your church context, teachers or trainers, you're always in this dilemma of which direction, which level you go with. Do you teach about the issue specifically? For instance, do you write a book or do you do a lesson on anxiety? Or do you teach people how to read an individual who may be struggling with anxiety or any number of things? It's sort of like the dilemma of a piano teacher. Do you teach someone to play a specific piece, like Lavender's Blue? This is what my daughter plays over and over and over again, okay? Do you teach them to play the specific piece, or do you teach them how to read music and play music generally? Do you get the distinction that I'm making? And the answer is, you can't really choose between the two. Both are useful. So in other words, I mean, Lavender's Blue is a terrible example of this, but think of a more complex piece that you'll be performing. You have to be a master of that specific piece. But you can actually master that specific piece without actually working on the core skill sets and being a master musician. So I'm just trying to acknowledge here that there's a little bit of attention. Even you're learning this week, some of your sessions have emphasized like the issue of depression or the issue of whatever it is. Others have given you more of a framework for how to read or how to interact. You're always kind of bouncing between the two. Both are important. Honestly, I tend towards the latter. That's just in my own teaching ministry. I tend towards the how to read the individual in front of you, I think is more important than being familiar with particular issues, though I also want you to be familiar with particular issues. So really, the exercise we're going to be doing together is we're going to touch on things that these guys share in terms of the issue, but I also want to push you to challenge yourself to read the different individuals going on. Because, for instance, to just keep with our example of anxiety, you can understand anxiety in a similar way and go to similar passages like Philippians 4, right? You guys know that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That is a standard universal truth for all forms of anxiety. And yet, that standard truth will be applied differently according to the context and the response of the individual. Let me just get to some of the points that you have there in your outline. You may remember, if you guys have been through track 3, you may remember when we went over the dynamic heart model. And that really is my attempt to just sort of illustrate what the Bible says in unpacking Proverbs 20, verse 5. You remember this verse? The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Why deep water? Why that illustration? You guys remember that? The purposes in a man's heart are like deep water. What is that illustration capturing? That when you look at the surface of someone, you don't know how deep it goes. You don't know what's under the surface by looking at them. There's indicators, but when you look at water and you see the sun glinting off the ripples on the surface of the water, you don't know if you put your foot in there, are you going to go up to your knee, your waist, or are you in the drink totally? You don't know. The purposes of a man's heart are like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. You guys know the Proverbs well enough to know what that's code language for, a man of understanding. By the way, it's a woman of understanding too. What's the beginning of wisdom in the book of Proverbs? The fear of the Lord. That's someone who knows God through His Word, who loves His Word, who lives his life as if God were present and God's Word were true, because it is. That phrase, man of understanding, means someone who sees the world as God sees it, someone who's been shaped by the Word. That man of understanding, that woman of understanding, will draw out the deep purposes of someone's heart. So that's what we do in counseling. That's the most important thing that we do in counseling as we then relate it to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's what I'm getting at. Let me just unpack. This is very thick language here that you have here. I'm just going to unpack a couple concepts to make it sort of digestible for our exercise and the purpose here. But human experience is full of trouble, and how a person, if you're an underliner, understands, I would underline that, how a person understands that trouble, and by understands, I just simply mean the meaning he ascribes to that trouble. How a person understands that trouble reveals something deep about him. It reveals the structures of belief and value and commitment that shape his perception, how he's seeing it. So the troubles of life, in fact, often serve to reveal the things a person otherwise wouldn't see in themselves. So again, you might remember that dynamic heart model. That language that's there is nothing other than, you already know, right? This is the cognitive, affective, and volitional aspects of how we respond, arrows going out, to our context. And everyone's context is different, and everyone's heart is different. But you remember, when I say cognitive, that's just what I mean by it, the deeper structures of belief. We believe and think. God made you to think. You ascribe meaning to things when you hear them. That's how you respond to your context. So when somebody says words, you are interpreting those words based on what you believe from Scripture, but what you believe about the person speaking, your knowledge of the English language, etc. You are a thinking creature. Praise God. You aren't just a thinking creature. The next thing on your outline is it reveals structures of belief and value. You could put desire, feelings, emotions. That's our affections. You don't just process information. You feel a certain way about the information that you're processing. If I told you that the axis of Mars is 2 degrees more severe than the axis of Earth, that's a fact. I just made that up, by the way. That's a fact that you process cognitively, but you don't feel much in regard to it. That doesn't mean you don't have feelings. It means that you've evaluated that information and it's not very important to you. But if instead I said to you, hey, since Roe v. Wade was made law, X number of babies have been aborted. That's also a fact that you're processing, but doesn't it feel different to you? Because you're ascribing a greater degree of value to the information that we're talking about. We are thinking beings, we are feeling beings, desiring beings, valuing beings, but that's not it. We also choose. We are choosing beings. We make choices. We have, that's what I mean by commitment there, the structures of belief and value and commitment. The choices we make in response to our context.